Welcome to episode 29 of Bite-Sized Blessings. This episode comes with two trigger warnings. There is the discussion of suicide, as well as the discussion of child abuse. If you know someone, or you yourself are suffering with thoughts of suicide, please reach out and call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-8255. And if you suspect a child is being abused, or think you have witnessed abuse, please call the Child Help National Child Abuse Hotline at 1-800-422-4453. My guest today, Vet Green, has not let these experiences define her. She has her own podcast, Think and Grow with Vet Green. You can find it on Anchor and other platforms. Take a listen, and I think you'll understand why I wanted her as a guest today. And now, episode 29 of Bite-Sized Blessings.
I don't know if you've ever heard of Harlequin, those romance novels. That was my reading. So that's... My mom would get her Harlequin books, and when she was done reading them, I would read them. So here I am, 8 years old, reading Harlequin. That's probably why I'm a hopeless romantic. I am a light out of the darkness. I know that about myself. I've always felt different. I've always felt like my life and why I was here, it was bigger than even I had known. And for a great deal of my life, I did not let that light shine. I actually tried to dim it, and I allowed others to dim it. So if I were to sum myself up, I would say that I'm a light. I was my entire existence can't be anything other than a light. Can't be anything other than that.
It is when you're like, I might be a light that is supposed to banish darkness. It is a scary thing to take on. Was it scary for you?
Absolutely. I remember one day I felt the weight of it. I was standing in my living room on my way out the door that morning, and I felt the weight of it. And I remember talking to God saying, you know, you really think that I can do this, God? Like, you really think that I am capable of doing what I feel in my heart you need me to do? And as I'm walking, I can picture myself as I'm walking out the door, I can hear him saying, yes, you know, and I started crying because I realized at that moment what I had to do. And I knew that I couldn't do that which I was called for unless I began the process of fixing what was wrong with me, healing myself. And I didn't know the details or what that would look like. I just knew that there were certain people that I had heard, you know, in passing. Oh, I love Oprah Winfrey, Les Brown, you know, Eric Thomas. I started just feeling my day with just listening to them and trying to, you know, take pieces from here, take pieces from there, collecting things just to try and fix myself. And what ended up happening is when I faced challenges, just maybe I was having a bad day and, you know, depression was trying to take over my mind, I was able to use some of the information that I had gathered in this process, even though I may have heard it a month or 2 months ago, I was able to use that information. It was like a light bulb, like, oh, I recall when Oprah said, you know, stay in flow, or when she was in flow. I get that now. Oh, I heard Les Brown say, if you fall, you know, as long as you're facing up, that means you can get back up. Oh, I've fallen on the ground, but I'm still looking up. That means I can get back up. And using that, it has changed my life. It literally has. And it's like, are you serious? It's really just that simple. I have come to the understanding that all of it was, there was a reason behind everything, all of it, every last bit of it.
Isn't it crazy to like look back and look at experiences that you've had that I mean, for me, it has been, and even experiences that were so painful and so confusing, you're like, oh my gosh, with hindsight, there was a reason for it. It's kind of mind blowing.
It is so mind blowing. Because when you're in the midst of it, you only see that, what you're going through. You only see that anger, or you only see, I was only looking at that hurt. I was only looking at, you know, this man that I had given my heart to at such a young age, just totally hurt me in so many ways, you know, that the capacity that I had to love him, it went out the window. It, you know, like it was disregarded is a better answer for that. And I held on to that hurt. Like, how could you do this to me? How could you do this to me? And because I held on to that for so long, it blurred my focus on what I should have been doing. But in hindsight, I look at that, I wouldn't be able to be the woman that I am right now had I not gone through that. So I've come to the understanding that I had to go through some extra, extra hard things because my shoulders have to be very, very strong. And I have to continue to tell myself that because I know that I have a job to do, and I can't do that job if I'm stuck in a place that is killing me instead of breathing life into me. No one can stay in that place and expect to survive, because we start dying from the inside out. That hurt affects every cell of our body. That hurt affected every cell of my body. I can recall this time where I was in such a bad place that it took me about 10, maybe 15 minutes just to lift my body up out the bed. And then another 10 or 15 minutes just to walk to the bathroom. And I can remember my body was just in so much pain, emotional pain, that it took everything in me to lean in the shower up against the wall and lift my arm up just to wash my arm. It was something that shouldn't have been such a task, was like me building a house. It out in the sun. It was a strenuous task. And that's when I should have raised my hand and said, you know, something's wrong. But I didn't know that, you know, this was serious. This was depression at a magnitude depression. When it starts affecting the cells in your body and it start causing things like cancer and heart disease and, you know, strokes. I didn't know, but now it's like, no, we have to fix that. We have to fix what's going on in here first, and then worry about all the other things, because it comes together. It starts to come together once I started realizing what I was doing to my body, physically, emotionally, what I was doing to my soul, the spiritual aspect of it, not having a belief in anything because so many people had let me down in my life. Because I had gone through so much hurt in my life, I had lost hope. I did not grow up in a per se religious household. My mom and stepfather, they went to church. They actually went to separate churches. They went to separate churches. He was a lot older than my mom, but they didn't force us to go to church. So it was, you know, if we wanted to go to church, which we sometimes did, more so because it was a place where you can congregate with your friends and meet up there, Sunday school, and mostly that. I didn't actually get into being spiritual until much later. So growing up for me, it was not very strict. I grew up with mom and a stepdad until I was 15. That's when they separated. We had a children's Bible, but it was more to, I love to read. So we were in a department store called Hills, and I was like, oh, can we get that? Because I had ran out of things to read. So my mom ended up buying that book, and I read some stories in there. But again, it wasn't religious at all. It was just, I guess, just a normal upbringing, just full of hurt, you know, the hurt that they've experienced, and then that's been passed down. But
it sounds like when you were a kid, maybe books were a little bit religious for you, like you love to read.
I love to read. I would pick up the Bible itself and read it, because I had my mom read. I don't know if you've ever heard of Harlequin, those romance novels. That was my reading. So that's my mom would get her Harlequin books, and when she was done reading them, I would read them. So here I am, 8 years old, reading Harlequin. That's probably why I'm a hopeless romantic. And then I went to the Bible.
For me as a kid, just books were a way to escape, you know, my life and what was going on. Because my parents started getting divorced when I was in fourth grade. You know, even after the divorce, it was not, their relationship was not great. And so really books became this way for me to just kind of leave the world and live in another world. It was such a relief to just get a book and be able to divorce myself from whatever was going on out there. Mm-hmm. Did you have that same feeling?
Was it the same thing? I was picked on a lot. I was always the heavier kid growing up. Not to mention there was colorism in my family. I'm actually one of the darker ones in my family. So I never felt like I belonged. On top of that, I had this bubbly personality, but the people around me, you know, my friends, I didn't realize that they were going through a lot of the things that I wasn't going through at the time at home. So that's what caused, you know, them to have their issues, and hurt people hurt. And that's what happened with me a lot. Got picked on, was molested by my biological father. So I was always a shy kid. I guess I never felt confident. And that a lot of times that's what happens with sexual abuse. I was never that popular kid. Let's say that I was never that popular kid. So because of that, I started becoming withdrawn, and books were like an escape for me. I was that kid that loved going to the library, and I would pick the maximum amount. If there were 10 books, I'm coming home with 10 books, because that was my life. Yeah, it was a fantasy world that, when I stepped outside, I wasn't caught, you know, fat. When I went to family functions, I didn't, you know, I wasn't the black sheep or the darkest one. Or my sister, she was much smaller than I was, and she was the pretty one. And my family or people that we were around, they didn't hesitate to make sure that she knew she was the pretty one. And then they would look at me, oh, the chunky one over there. And they would literally tell my sister, oh, you're going to be a heartbreaker when you grow up. And then look over at me and not say anything. That hurts. And that kills a child's self-esteem, who's already battling with self-esteem issues because the world around her is telling her that she's not good enough, that she's not pretty enough, that she's too dark, that she's has 40 extra pounds on her. I grew up in a very low income. I grew up in the projects, very low income. My mom and stepfather didn't have a lot of money. My stepfather was already retired. He 30 years older than my mom. So our income, we were in poverty. So we didn't have all the latest fashions. And that matters in certain areas when you don't look as if you aren't poor, because that's what it is. You don't, if you, you can be poor, just don't look poor. If you look poor and you're poor, you're going to get picked on. There was a time in my life where I go days, literally days, without looking in the mirror and did not feel comfortable looking at my face. I didn't think I was ugly, but I never felt beautiful. I never felt as if I was good enough. And one of the reasons that I dislike my face so much is that I look exactly like my father. So here I am with the face of a man that did the ultimate to me, who was supposed to love and protect me. Every time I look at my eyes, I see him staring back at me. So when I talk about some of the areas in my life that I have to forgive myself for, I had to also forgive him because I look like him. I look exactly like him. When I allow myself to sit in that space that this man hurt me, who was supposed to love me, be the first man to love me, it is very, very depressing. But I know that he was also hurt. So through my healing, I've been able to forgive him because I don't know what he had to go through. What I do know is that he was left by his mom. When my mom got with my biological dad, she didn't think she could have kids. So she got with him and she got me. Now, this man was abusive in every aspect. He was abusive to my mom. When she was 6 months pregnant with me, he almost killed her. He almost choked her to death. But my uncle happened to be there and she got away from him. During the birth of me, She was in labor with me for 3 days, in labor with me for 3 days. So even coming out, it was my entire birth was just, but my mom said that I was a blessing, that I was a blessing because she feels as if it was not for me because of the things that she was going through in her own life. If it had not been for me, that she probably would have taken her own life. What got me here to Chicago was I was feeling myself going back down into that sunken place where I didn't want to be here anymore. This was 2018. And at that time, I had already tried to commit suicide 3 times. And each time, you know, I was woken back up. The last time I had actually ended up in the hospital again, and I woke up in the hospital. And that was the end of 2016. And I told myself that some things have to change. And I said I wanted to be done with, you know, the heartache that I was going through with my ex-husband. So I ended up getting with this guy who, he breathed life back into me that I needed because I had lost any ounce of self-esteem that I had for myself. I had lost. And he helped me remember that I can be loved. And because of that, I still love him to this day. We're actually good friends. But what I didn't realize is how broken he was as well. So once I started realizing that what attracted us the most was our brokenness, our stories were so similar. And if it was to be, one of us had to figure it out, get healed. I didn't know that healing was a part of the process. I just knew that I needed a change. And I was working for my sister at the time. I was in such a low place that my daughter, she was in the Air Force. She was in Japan at the time. She had to call back home to the States and pretty much beg my sister to give me a job. because I was just in such a place where I had lost hope. I had lost hope for myself. I didn't think that I could accomplish anything. I had applied for Social Security. I was ready to become, you know, start getting a $700 check every month for disability. That's where my mind was. I didn't think I can do better than that. Fast forward, things didn't work out. So I said, let me try something different. I started applying for jobs outside of New York because I knew I needed to get away and fast because I was headed back down that same road that I was on with my ex-husband. And I didn't want that. I wanted something different. I started applying for jobs, and each of these jobs that I was applying for, the places that I was getting the interviews for was for Michigan, the state of Michigan. So I thought that's where I was going, to Michigan. I had 3 job interviews. All of them were promising. One, I had 3 interviews for the same position. They were planning to fly me out to Michigan for this job. And then it stopped. Nothing happened. They stopped answering my emails. I'm like, what's going on? I 3 interviews. Usually when you have multiple interviews, you have the position. So I'm calling. I had family in Michigan. I'm calling. Say I'm coming to Michigan. You know, would I be able to, you know, figure it out on your couch for a little while? I have this job opportunity. It never panned out. I was getting so frustrated, and that spirit of depression started trying to overcome me again. And I recall standing in my mom's doorway with tears running down my eyes, telling her, you know, they aren't calling. So I went out on her porch because I'm an outside person, just to feel that sun. And I started applying for jobs all around the country. And I applied for the job in Chicago. When I applied for the job in Chicago, I followed up with them about a week later, and I had to revamp my resume to say that I was living in Chicago. To make a long story short, I got the job. It's the job that I'm in currently right now. I happened to be standing outside one day because, again, I'm an outside person. I love the nature. And I looked down, and lo and behold, what's right in front of me is a sign that said Michigan. That's where the sign was telling me that, you're going to be on Michigan. I said Michigan. I didn't say in Michigan. I said Michigan. You know how the rejection, the pain of rejection that I had experienced I had to find out. I work on Michigan. That's what it was telling me. I was having an issue trying to find a place. When I was married, everything was in my name. So my credit was trash. So credit is everything. Credit is everything. So I was having an issue trying to find a place. So I was sitting at my desk so frustrated one day because I kept getting rejection after rejection after rejection. All day long, this number 1019 kept popping up in everything that I touch. I'm like, why is this number popping out to me? Why is this number popping up to me? I get a notification. And usually when I get these notifications from Zillow or Redfin, I would ignore them, especially at this point, because I've gotten 20 rejections. I don't want another rejection. I don't want to deal with another rejection. But something said, get up, call this number. Get up, call this number right now. And I'm like, okay. Got up, I went into an empty conference room, called that number, got the apartment, and decided to, let me see how far, the apartment was in the same neighborhood as my nephew, who I was living with at the time. We were neighbors, 5 minutes away from each other. So I decided to do a walk around to see the difference in time for me walking to the train from his house to me walking to the train to catch to work from my new apartment. As I'm walking down the street, what pops out at me? The numbers 1019. It was the apartment that I had gotten. When we are open to what the universe is trying to tell us and open to go down that path that that force is trying to lead us to, the signs are there. That's two things that I wouldn't have been open to realize had I not decided to change my life, change my mind about what my purpose is, that to tell myself, you are here for a reason, stay in your flow.
I think you obviously, as an adult, have realized and accepted the idea of flow, of magic, mm-hmm. of signs. Mm-hmm. When you were a kid, did you have any idea that the world was like this?
I really believe that I knew it, and then it was lost. It was buried under the mess. It was buried. I remember as a little kid, anytime I fantasized or daydreamed about being an adult, I never lived in New York. I had this fantabulous job, but it was never in New York. Each of the times that I've been able to elevate my life and my career, it has not been in New York. So when I got the opportunity to leave for the third time, mind you, three times, this is the third time, the third go around, I said to myself, you know what? I manifested this for myself. I manifested that I am going to be great. I am going to have this fabulous life and this fabulous career. But I kept telling, that little girl kept saying that it's not going to be in New York. That little girl kept saying that it wasn't going to happen. Listen to her. She was the closest to that present. She knew who she was. Life happened to her, and she lost sight of that because life happened to her. Stick with her. She knew exactly what she wanted to be. She knew she wanted to be a teacher. She knew she wanted to be, you know, like a Mother Teresa figure and save all the children. She knew that. You had things happen to you. I had things happen to me that erased it for a time being, but everything that's erased does not mean that it's gone. And I am in the pursuit of finding what was erased, but wasn't really gone. It was invisible ink. That's all. It was invisible ink.
This has been episode 29 of Bite-Sized Blessings, the podcast all about the magic and spirit that surrounds us, if only we open our eyes to it. And whether you choose to listen to our bite-sized offerings for that 5 to 10 minutes of freedom in your day, or the longer interviews, we're grateful you're here. I'd like to thank my guest today, Vette Green, for sharing her story today, as well as the creators of the music used. Agnes Valmagia, Chilled Music, Music L Files, EDK20, Dream Heaven, Lilo Sound, and Kevin McLeod. For complete attribution, please see the Bite-Sized Blessings website at bitesizedblessings.com. On the website, you'll find links to other people, changemakers, playlists, and music I think will lift and inspire you. Thank you for listening, and here's my one request. Be like Vette. Do the deep work of healing yourself first, so you can bring your light to the world.